Thank you so very much to you and to Age Concern for all the hard work that you do for our kaumātua queer across the city and across the country as well too. Like all other organisations, however, you do rely on generosity from time to time of the public, and so there is a campaign currently running. It is Oldie and a Goodie. That is a campaign that you're running here in Auckland to raise funds and awareness of Age Concern Auckland.
And that challenge is getting ever more acute and ever more difficult. We're facing a time when we've got a rapidly aging population, which is wonderful. Our kaumātua and kuia, our older people, have so much to offer. But unfortunately, a lot of those people have got some really tough challenges in their lives. We know, for example, that almost 10% of all of our older people experience some form of abuse or neglect in their lives. We know that about 20% of everyone who's over the age of 65 will experience loneliness and isolation. So there's some really big challenges for us. So we are launching our first ever public campaign, really to try to encourage people to just to really celebrate, in some ways, the older people in their lives, in our communities. And I think too often we forget of the value and the input and how enriching our older people make our lives and our communities. So we're encouraging people to think about their older relatives, the older people in their communities. And we're doing that by launching our campaign, Oldie and a Goodie, as you mentioned. And we also hope that as well as raising awareness, people will be generous in terms of donating to support the older people across the city.
One of the things that you mentioned, actually, it was the first point that you mentioned, it was about elder abuse. And, of course, we would all go, oh, no, that just can't possibly happen. Actually, it takes many forms as well, too, doesn't it? And so we may not be that consciously aware that it is taking place, or even for some of us, we're not even consciously aware that we're actually maybe adding to some of the challenges and the stresses of our kaumātua queer in our lives. Can you just describe some of those things that you describe that you can identify as being elder abuse?
No, of course. And I think one of the things that is really most distressing is 10% of the population of over 65s is a huge number of people in our communities. And almost 80% of the cases of abuse that we work with here at Age Concern, it is members of families. It's not the stranger that turns up at the doorstep. It is often older children, it is grandchildren, it is extended family members. And abuse, as you said, can take many, many forms. So we deal with a huge amount of psychological abuse where an older person is being berated, is being shouted at, is being humiliated. They could be having they're not being given their appropriate medications, all the way through to someone might be just not helping them get new batteries for a hearing aid, so they're completely isolated in the family home. And often that's a side of abuse that is something quite often people are not aware that they themselves are making it worse for their older people. But we equally, about half the cases we deal with are financially motivated. And we know that families are under a lot of pressure, a lot of strain. And so an awful lot of the cases we deal with, it is people who, to put it very bluntly, it is taking the resources, the money of their older relatives without their permission. And that can range from simply taking their FPOS card and offering to go and do the groceries, but filling your own shopping bags at the same time without permission, all the way through. And some of the horrendous cases we deal with, we dealt with one very recently where an older lady was convinced by her own daughter that she'd be better off going into a retirement village, that she'd be very comfortable in this, and they'd pay for it by selling off the old family home to cover the costs. And the old lady, she agreed to all this, and then before she knew it, the daughter had signed the house over to the daughter. The daughter sold the house, kept all the money, leaving the old lady whose house it was with nothing. She couldn't afford to pay her bills, and eventually she ended up having to then go. She couldn't live in the retirement village that she wanted to. She was now having to go into assisted housing or into rest home because she suddenly went from being someone who was comfortably off to having someone who had absolutely nothing. So the other thing about elder abuse is it can strip someone of their independence, of their self-esteem, of their dignity, and it can happen almost in a heartbeat.
Yes, and you know, we're hearing stories coming across the media too of some horrific situations of neglect as well too. I mean, it's just terrifying. It's just heart-wrenching, isn't it? Know that we live here, our radio station is based here in Tamakiki Te Tonga in South Auckland. Over the last decade or so, the South Auckland Initiative, Southern Initiative, has identified a growing number of our pakeke, kaumātua queer, who are experiencing homelessness. And for many of the numbers, they are unseen because they too are couch surfing or sleeping in tents in backyards or sleeping in the cars in their tamariki or whānau driveways. I mean, that too is a type of neglect, is it not? But can we say that the state is also complicit in elder abuse by not ensuring that they are comfortable in their older years by having a nice, safe, warm place to stay?
Oh, look, absolutely. And often legislation is simply not on the side of the older person. And I know you're absolutely right, Claudette. I mean, I've been into a home before to see an older couple, and they were living in the garage of the family home, but the garage hadn't been converted. They'd literally just got a mattress on the floor at the back of the garage. Otherwise, it was just bare walls. It was a draft coming out of the garage door. It was simply no way for an older person to have to live. And we have a real shortage of appropriate housing available for older people in the city, right across the city, and particularly across South Auckland, where we know that there are many, many older people who are desperate to retain their independence. They want to stay independent. They want to stay within their communities where they've lived all of their lives. But there is just a shortage of affordable housing. And we know that the government initiatives, they tend to be, how can I put this? They frame it as affordable housing, but it's affordable for those people who have got a reasonable standard of living and a reasonable income and can actually afford to pay the rents or the mortgage on the houses. For older people, particularly those older people who are simply living on superannuation alone, affordable housing that costs anything is simply not affordable. It's got to be, you know, they need provision of warm, safe, comfortable homes. And they should, no one should be having to live either in their car, in the garage, or even in the tiny back room of a family home where they're not looked after. We do need the government to step up. We do need the government to provide more appropriate housing that is focused and is for older people especially. And we want that housing to be in the communities where those people live.
Councils, regional councils, Auckland Council, as an example, had a dedicated campaign of selling off their state assets, their state housing, their housing for the elderly, their pensioner flats that we all recognise and see as we're walking down, you know, Auckland. Some of them, are, you know, were in those big blocks in Freemans Bay, as an example, but are now a mega million-dollar apartment blocks. But were once housing for our kaumātua queer who transitioned from their state house for life and into these smaller dwellings, and now they, you know, they're not available. Surely state, not just central government, but regional councils like Auckland Council, they're responsible as well too for their citizens to ensure housing for their elderly.
No, they are, and you're right. I mean, the old Auckland City, before the amalgamation to form the super city, they sold off their pensioner units. Other parts of Auckland didn't. So it is a lottery. It depends on whereabouts in the city you live as to the quality of the housing you can expect to have at the moment. And I mean, I know that the council, through their work, they are renovating and they are building some excellent pensioner units in various places. I know not far from where I live in West Auckland, there's some lovely housing going up specifically for older people. But it is not enough. It's too few in number. And the concern that we have, I think, is that it's forcing older people into utterly impossible life choices at a stage in their life when they should be being looked after, being supported and being comfortable. And I think that there needs to be a radical rethink about how we provide provision for older people in terms of ensuring they have warm, safe, comfortable homes that they can live in, and they have certainty over tenure. One of the other things we're seeing across the city is a huge increase in the number of older people in private rented accommodation. And that leaves them to the vagaries of landlords who may change their mind at the drop of a hat and decide they're going to sell their properties for development or whatever it may be.